This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Texas, West Virginia, and five other states are suing to end once and for all a program that would protect some young immigrants from deportation. Roxy Todd has more.
The lawsuit announced Tuesday comes a week after a federal judge in Washington ordered the Trump administration to resume the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Immigrants under the Obama-era program are commonly referred to as Dreamers. Republican Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton had threatened legal action for the past year if the program didn't come to a halt. Joining Texas and West Virginia in the lawsuit are Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Nebraska, and South Carolina. A federal judge in Washington called the Department of Homeland Security's rationale against the program, quote, arbitrary and capricious, end quote. He gave the Trump administration 90 days to make a new case. Tuesday's lawsuit joins a host of litigation related to the program that is not expected to be resolved until the U.S. Supreme Court weighs in. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd.
Natural gas has been touted as a bridge to clean energy's future, and it's replaced coal as the country's top power source. But it's also causing problems for another source of energy, nuclear. For State Impact Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports this could be a setback in the fight against climate change.
It was just four short years ago when an American president said this about natural gas.
If extracted safely, it's the bridge fuel that can power our economy with less of the carbon pollution that causes climate change.
President Obama's prediction was partially right. Hundreds of coal plants have closed. But now, something else is happening, too. Inside the Three Mile Island nuclear plant, a reactor creates enough electricity to power 800,000 homes. But the plant is slated to shut down next year. Inside a control room, shift manager Nick Favorito says he hopes that doesn't happen.
We're hopeful that we'll work with the PA legislature to find a solution to keep these plants running since they are carbon-free source electricity, a large carbon-free source electricity.
But that could be tough for the plant's owner, Exelon. The plant can't make money in an electricity market flooded by cheap natural gas. Researcher Jesse Jenkins says that's a bad thing for the climate.
So if your concern is about climate change and you view it as an urgent and perhaps even existential threat to human society and to the environment, then you should be very concerned about the closure of nuclear power plants. And indeed, it's the thing that keeps me up most at night right now.
Jenkins is a PhD candidate at MIT who studies ways to lower the carbon footprint of the electric grid. He says nuclear plants around the country are retiring much sooner than they have to. In addition to Three Mile Island, First Energy announced it was closing three of its nuclear plants in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Jenkins says each of these are large sources of carbon-free electricity that'll probably be replaced by natural gas, which emits CO2, though not as much as coal.
And losing each one is a significant step back at a time we should be making rapid progress towards a zero-carbon energy system.
An industry-funded study found the four nuclear plants scheduled to close in Ohio and Pennsylvania provide more emissions-free electricity than all the wind and solar in the entire Mid-Atlantic grid, a region that serves 65 million people. To stay in business, nuclear plant owners are turning to states and federal government for help. First Energy has asked the federal government to declare a grid emergency to keep its coal and nuclear plants running. New York and Illinois are subsidizing their struggling nuclear plants by giving them zero emissions credits. These are basically subsidies the states pay to nuclear plants for the carbon pollution these plants are preventing. Matt Wald is with the Nuclear Energy Institute, an industry trade group. He says policies like these are necessary.
We are seeking to have the market recognize the things that we provide to the system. It doesn't do that now.
Nuclear's precarious situation is a complicated one for environmental groups who have long opposed nuclear energy. Tom Schuster is with the Sierra Club in Pennsylvania. He worries about nuclear's own environmental problems, like radioactive waste, impacts from uranium mining, and the risk of a Fukushima-type disaster. But then again, he thinks about what nuclear plants don't put in the air.
If they're replaced by plants that burn fracked gas, then that's definitely a problem.
Nuclear remains the country's top source of carbon-free electricity. So the Sierra Club supported a nuclear bailout in Illinois that also promoted renewables.
I kind of think about it as thinking about nuclear plant policy as a phase-out rather than a bailout.
The best way to get this to happen, he says, is through a tax on carbon emissions. That would make coal and natural gas more expensive to produce and help carbon-free sources of electricity. But that's not likely at the federal level. So could Pennsylvania bail out its nuclear plants? Maybe. But the state's large natural gas industry opposes any bailout for nuclear, and there are no bills in the legislature that would do so right now. Reed Frazier, State Impact, Pennsylvania.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Partly sunny skies today with highs in the 80s and low 90s. Mostly cloudy tonight, a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms in the north with lows in the 50s and low 60s. Mostly cloudy skies Friday, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the Charleston Montessori School, presenting Note by Note, The Making of Steinway L1037, a documentary charting the process by which Steinway & Sons manufactures one of its concert grand pianos, at Taylor Books May 15th at 6 p.m. Just days before West Virginia's primary, attacks between candidates vying for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate have become increasingly aggressive. Fueled by the national spotlight, a recent string of debates, and out-of-state spending, GOP Senate hopefuls are competing to align themselves with President Donald Trump, who maintains strong approval ratings in the state. Dave Mistich has been following along and brings us up to speed with this report.
While earlier debates this primary season were relatively dry, a Tuesday night event in Morgantown, hosted by Fox News, delivered frequent sparring, particularly between Congressman Evan Jenkins and State Attorney General Patrick Morrissey. The two frontrunners kept with the running theme of their respective campaigns, try to out-Trump the other.
Who did you vote for in the May primary in West Virginia? I endorsed and voted for Donald Trump. Who did you vote for?
I support the president, and that's why just a few weeks ago, just a few weeks ago when I sat next to the president, and Evan was there as well, that we have a great relationship. We've worked together. I was proud to run ads with the president and support him at the convention. Look, there are a lot of people that were not Evan support him the day before the primary. That's no profiling courage. Okay.
Former Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship finishes 1 year of probation on Wednesday, the day after the election. Blankenship served a year in federal prison for conspiring to violate mine safety standards, a misdemeanor stemming from the Upper Big Branch disaster. The April 2010 explosion killed 29 miners. Throughout his campaign, the former coal baron has maintained his innocence and, despite his status as a first-time candidate, has attempted to take credit for the Republican takeover in West Virginia politics in recent elections. At Tuesday's Fox News debate, Blankenship used his past political influence to take shots at Jenkins and Morrissey.
If it weren't for me, neither of these two guys would be up here. It's funny that that Pat says the only conservative on the stage. Conservatives weren't even popular in West Virginia until I caused them to be conservative by investing about $5 million of my own money.
But it's not just the candidates themselves who have taken aim at their fellow GOP Senate hopefuls. Money from super PACs, coming from Republicans and Democrats, has been fueling an onslaught of television and social media ads in recent weeks. The pro-Morrissey 35th PAC has specifically targeted Jenkins, who appears to be leading the field, according to a Fox News poll released last week.
So it's no surprise Jenkins supported Nancy Pelosi, supported John Kerry over George W. Bush, and went to a campaign rally for Hillary Clinton, supporting liberal candidates, voting for liberal policies.
There's also this ad from Mountain Families PAC, a Republican-backed organization that has spent more than $700,000 trying to end Blankenship's chances at scoring the nomination.
Convicted criminal Don Blankenship.
This game is about
lot of money.
Blankenship made $17.3 million 1 year and traveled the country on a private jet. At the same time, he cut the pay and benefits of miners 6% and laid off hundreds. Then the Upper Big Branch disaster killed 29 men.
Perhaps the most peculiar outside player in the GOP primary is Duty and Country, a PAC whose treasurer is former U.S. attorney and Democrat Booth Goodwin. He was responsible for trying the Blankenship case back in 2015. Duty and Country is taking on both Jenkins and Morrissey, seemingly to place Blankenship in what they hope is an insurmountable race against would-be Democratic nominee Joe Manchin. While Jenkins, Morrissey, and Blankenship have been the most recognizable names in the race, three other Republicans are also vying for the party nomination. They've taken a similar strategy as their front-running counterparts, pro-Trump, anti-Manchin. While these contenders garnered fewer debate invites, they say they're still in the running.
You can throw all the big name recognition out the window because at this point it's a four-man race. We're within 12 points. The top four candidates are all crammed within 10, 12 points of each other. There's still a huge undecided vote out there, around 30%.
That's Tom Willis of Martinsburg. According to a recent Fox News poll, the undecided vote for likely Republican voters actually sits at 41% in this race. Willis touts his credentials as a small business owner and a Green Beret honors graduate as a remedy for what he sees as failed policies in recent times.
We're at a moment in history where West Virginia needs leadership, and we need candidates with proven leadership. And I have that from running a West Virginia business and creating jobs in West Virginia. And I certainly have that from working in special forces in the military for the last many years. I think all of the candidates would agree that Joe Manchin has failed to provide leadership. He's been in office, in politics for 30 years, and West Virginia remains near the end of all the different rankings. That's a symptom of a lack of leadership.
Laid-off coal miner turned Senate candidate Bo Copley found himself thrust into the national spotlight during the 2016 presidential campaign when he questioned Hillary Clinton's comments on the coal industry. Copley sees the big spending by the top three candidates and their outside backers as a disadvantage in some ways, but also as an opportunity.
People are tired of the type of typical politician that we have in these races. I'm not a politician. I'm just a West Virginian. I'm trying to make life better for those that live life like I do.
Copley argues that the top three frontrunners in Jenkins, Morrissey, and Blankenship are too far removed from the lives of average West Virginians.
And I think a lot of people look at those three as the problem. One of the biggest problems we face is people don't know that we're in the race because we can't advertise the way they do. I've seen so many comments on social media. It's like, if this is the only three that we have to choose from, I won't vote. And we have to quickly say, no, you have other options.
Rounding out the field is Navy veteran and truck driver Jack Newbrow from Weirton. At a debate last week in Wheeling, Newbrow drew attention for his comments about carrying a gun to the event, as well as his position on how to combat the opioid scourge that's hit the country. He suggested waterboarding dealers. He, too, believes the GOP frontrunners will be an easy target should they be nominated.
Look at what Joe Manchin, he has so much ammunition to go after them on because of their past. What's he going to go after me on? Either I'm a Navy vet and I'm a truck driver. I mean, there's nothing else for him to say. I mean, if he knocks me on either one of those, I mean, what else can he go with? And I am a typical West Virginian guy. I make $45,000 a year. I drive a truck for a living, and I see the going-ons in West Virginia like everyone else does.
As for the millions of outside dollars coming into the primary, Newbrow says he's happy he had no involvement.
I mean, I have not taken a dime from anybody. I don't take any endorsements, and I don't take any donations, and I will refuse to take it. I'd just like to prove a point that you don't need to raise millions of dollars to win a race. Do I think that's going to happen? I don't know. I guess we'll find out May 8th.
And find out May 8th we will. Polls are open on Election Day from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Early voting ends Saturday, May 5th. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.